Good. I've really enjoyed being taught over the last few weeks. I think this is something like the 7th sermon in Hebrews. I've only done 2 of them, which, to be honest, has been a real ordering of God's providence for us as a family. But I've really enjoyed being taught. We've been hearing things like this. We've been learning that Jesus, in chapter 1, is the glorious forever King. And then in chapter 2, that he's our perfect forever High Priest. that's been followed by a warning and encouragement and an instruction. A warning in chapter 3 that if today we do hear God's word, we must listen. We must not harden our hearts. And we're to do that today, we've been told. So a warning to listen to God, an encouragement to make every effort to enter the rest that he has promised and is stored up for us. And we're to make every effort today. And then the instruction from last week to draw near, to persevere, to make sure that we get there, we need to keep drawing near. And the implication seems to be that that is under this whole heading of today as well. As long as today is called today, which is every day for the rest of our lives. It's been great to be taught these things. And the point has been the same every time. Keep your confidence in Jesus, the glorious King, the perfect High Priest who brings us to God. And so let's keep listening, not as a burden, but because he is the one who is speaking to us. Let's make every effort to enter the rest when we will see him face to face. And let's draw near every day to him until that day. The point to keep our confidence in Jesus. And in chapter 6 of Hebrews, in verses 18, just the end of the section that James read, this is what we're to be encouraged in again, to keep our confidence in Jesus. God did this in verse 18, we'll come to that later, by 2 unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, so that we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. It's that same note right through this letter, that we would be greatly encouraged to keep hold of the Lord Jesus. We have this hope, verse 19, as an anchor for the soul. Somebody talking to me in my headphones. We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Something to hold on to today and every day until our hope is fully realised. And the writer wants to greatly encourage us in this morning. If you're a youngster, you've probably got a piece of paper with a great big anchor on it, which you might want to spend some time decorating this morning. And so in this section that we're looking at today, we're continuing that theme of keeping our confidence in Jesus. And at one point this week, there were going to be 6 reasons why. Then it went down to 5, and now it's down to 4. You'll be pleased to know. 4 reasons to keep following Jesus, or 4 instructions. Sometimes it's a warning, sometimes it's an encouragement. So here's the first one. Let's eat solid food. You'll make sense of the other half of the children's sheet at this point. So hands up, including at home. Hands up if you started life on milk. Okay. Keep your hand up if milk is still the only thing that you eat. Now, there might be one or two. Is Jemima on solids? I don't know how old that happens. But she's very young, so she hasn't been on solids for long. Okay, so that means that all of us, I assume you had hands up at home as well, all of us started on milk, but all of us have moved on to solid food. None of us only still eat milk. Well, the problem that the writer to the Hebrews has is that the Hebrew Christians are now only still drinking milk. See that? End of verse 13. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Well, the writer wants to get them onto solid food, because he knows that solid food is so important for keeping going. Now, there are a few health issues around at the moment, but imagine what our health issues would be if all we ever had was milk. We cannot grow, mature, thrive as people without moving on to solid food. You're still allowed milk. Shouldn't get rid of milk. It's good. But we need to move on to solid food. It's so important as Christians, the writer says, to move on from the elementary truths onto the solid food. If we're going to keep our confidence in Jesus, if we're going to keep going. The way he works in these verses is kind of like this. You start with milk, but you must put it into practice. Come back to that. That will then make us able to cope with solid food, which again needs to be put into practice. That's what brings maturity, even to the point of being teachers. Sorry, noise in my ears again for some reason. Look at verse 19. Sorry. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So the truth of the basic elementary truths are to be used. By constant use, we've trained ourselves to distinguish good and evil. And then we can be on the solid food. By constant use of those truths, we mature as Christians, we become steady, we persevere, and then even we might be teachers. In fact, verse 12, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths. Now, this is where you need to hold on to your seats, because he's going to tell us what the elementary truths are at the beginning of chapter 6. We might think this is an advanced course in theology. Listen to this. Therefore, let's move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. So let's go from milk to solid food. Not laying again these elementary truths, the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. The basics look quite advanced, don't they? You know, if somebody strolled up to you on the street next week, they won't be allowed to, but hey, if they did, and they asked you, what can you tell me about the resurrection of the dead? What would you have to say to them? And what would you say? And then when they say, how does eternal judgment work? And what's this laying on of hands things? I mean, in brief here, Paul covers the past, the present, and the future, if you like. There's the original turning to God, repentance and faith. There's the belonging to God's people as a Christian, instructions about baptisms and the laying on of hands. And then there's the going forward in the Christian life. What's ahead? The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. The turn, the belonging, and the going forward. The basics of the Christian life. But the writer wants to get beyond that. He knows that solid food is so important for our maturity in Christ and our keeping going that he's going to give them solid food anyway. So, firstly, let's eat solid food. Secondly, then, this is verse 4 to verse 8 of chapter 6. Let's not throw away what we have. He warns his readers, he warns us, that as Christians, you can't just kind of pack it in and then go back to the beginning and start again. Now, the crucial thing for these verses is that we must don't think about other people and where they are and what they're doing and whether they're falling away or not. These verses are for us. They're for you. We're to think about ourselves as we read this verse, if we're really to get its the reason that he writes it. Now, there are questions about other people, which we're not going to deal with today. But for this morning, we need to think about ourselves. And simply ask the question, are you a Christian today? Do you know something of what it means to have been enlightened, to understand the gospel, to know the Lord Jesus? Would you say that's you? I'm hoping that there are many, many yeses to that question. Would you say that you've tasted the heavenly gift, something of God's goodness to you in your life? That in some way, which it might be difficult to describe for you, you're confident that God is with you, that you've shared in the Holy Spirit. You found wonderful things in God's word, the goodness of what he has said to us. And something of the powers of the coming age, that you know that you have a hope because of Jesus. He's risen from the dead. So there is something more coming. Are you a Christian? We're thinking about ourselves. Would you call yourself a Christian? Would you know yourself as a Christian? And others know you as a Christian. Well, the writer is warning us to keep our confidence in Jesus, because if we throw that away, for whatever reason, if we throw it away deliberately, openly, permanently, there is no way back. It's impossible for those who have once, verse 6, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to the beginning, to be brought back to repentance. If you call yourself a Christian, you're known as a Christian, people know that you're a Christian, then at the heart of your faith is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. To then publicly go and say, I'm giving all that up, is to say to the world that Christ is nothing to you and Christ is nothing. And Paul says if that publicly happens, if that's what you do, verse 6, to their loss, they're crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. To own Christ and to give up on Christ publicly, to throw it all away, is to subject Christ to public disgrace. See, it's the other side of the first point. Let's not throw away what we have. Rather, let's keep on growing. Let's make sure that we're eating solid food and growing in Christ instead. Thirdly, let's always put our salvation into practice. You'll remember the little milk practice, solid food practice. Well, this is where he explains what that means. Let's always put our salvation into practice. Verse 9. Even though we speak like this, so that warning, do not throw away what you have in the gospel for any reason, because there's no way back. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we're convinced of better things in your case. What an encouraging word to us this morning. Yeah, he gives us the warning, but he says, look, better things in your case, things that accompany salvation, things that go along with salvation. What are they? Well, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Now, I mean, I could go on for a long time at this point about all the way through lockdown, for us as a family, particularly in the last couple of weeks, for all the work that people like Reuben and Charlotte have been doing, all the food that's been transported around Oxford Street to various homes at various points, the way that people have supported one another. I always used to say we were doing this pretty well. Anyway, then we had lockdown and we started doing it really well. And then in the last couple of weeks, we're just very, very thankful for this. But look what it shows. How do we show that we love God? How do we show that? Is it kind of how loud we sing or I don't know, how we dress on a Sunday? Or how do we show that we love God? God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Let's always put our salvation into practice. Love and good deeds. And so he goes on and says, so don't be lazy. Verse 11, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Diligence to the very end. See this idea of today. When do you put your faith into practice? Well, today. When do you not throw it away? Today. When do you need to get some solid food? Today. Until our hope is fully realized. To keep our confidence in Jesus until we see him face to face. I wonder if you feel like a lazy Christian. Well, don't worry. That doesn't put you in the same category as those who throw away what they have. The person who throws away what they have is saying, it's like riding a bike. If you might have a road bike and you got into road biking for a bit, and then you just say, right, I'm binning that. And you drive your car over your bike and you throw it away. That's not lazy. That's a deliberate throwing away of our hope. People do that. But this is just where we've just got a bit lazy. And the writer's saying, no, well, verse 9, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we're convinced of better things in your case, that we don't need to be lazy anymore, because today we can put our faith into practice. That looks like love and good deeds, and it looks like faith and patience. I guess that faith and patience might look a bit lazy. You just kind of believe and patiently cope with everything. It's not. It's where the Bible does some of these strange opposites. What's the opposite of laziness? Faith and patience in the Lord Jesus. And that will produce good works and love for people. So let's put our salvation into practice. And let's rely finally on the certain promises of God, verses 19 to the end of the chapter. Now, when parents say things to you, little ones, you know that they will always absolutely keep their word, don't you? It's not quite like that because we're not God. But parents always seek to keep their word to you. They say things to you and you should be able to trust them. Well, as much as you trust your parents, you have to crank that up a lot for when it comes to God, because God makes a promise. And his promises are unchangeable. And when God makes his promise, he doesn't just make it, but he swears it as well on oath. Not for him. He doesn't need to do that. If God's promised it, it's as secure as anything already. But he makes an oath with it just in case we think it might not be absolutely certain. And God's promises are absolutely certain because he says them and he swears them on oath. And that's one of the ways that we keep our confidence in Jesus. Abraham is our great example, who through faith and patience, he waited patiently for what God had promised. And so we wait patiently like Abraham did. But the promises that we've received are the reality. Abraham had the shadow which has been filled out in the reality in Jesus. And we are heirs of the promise. Verse 17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to us. He promised it and he confirmed it with an oath. Have absolutely no doubt that when you read a promise in the Bible, or when your parents tell you the promises of God, have absolutely no doubt that God's purpose is unchangeable and that he will keep his promises. I'm just going to read verses 18 to 20 and then we'll finish as we think about what he says here. Because as you read these verses, this is where he's got to after this little section. He started by saying, I'm going to take you from milk to solid food. And as you read these verses closely, you might think, yeah, something a bit more elementary might be useful. Because look what's coming. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, that's his promise and his oath, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us Christians, that we might be greatly encouraged. We have this hope, Christ, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So whatever happens until we see him, we are not pulled away. We're safe with the anchor. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Well, surely you could have put that a bit more simply. Where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What a strange way to put things. But the writer knows we need solid food. So he's actually going to spend a chapter telling us about entering. He's going to spend a chapter talking about the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle. He's going to spend a chapter talking to us about high priest and another chapter talking to us about Melchizedek. This is going to be the solid food that he wants to feed us. He's going to spend a chapter and a half talking about faith and patience. So our challenge this morning is, will we eat the solid food? Over these coming weeks, as he gives us this stuff which is clearly not elementary, will we eat the solid food? Will we keep our confidence in Jesus. It's the same point. But the thing that he's added this week is, will you keep your confidence in Jesus by putting in the necessary work? Next week, you've got a whole chapter on Melchizedek. You might think, how's that going to help me in lockdown? Well, solid food is what we need. But we've got to put in the work. It's much easier just sipping milk that your mum gives you, I guess. Will we not be lazy? Will we put in the work in that regard? Will we deliberately abound in love and good works? And will we practice faith and patience with whatever circumstances come our way, because we know that the promise of God is certain? Solid food, love and good works, faith and patience, today, as long as it is called today. Now let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, help us never to throw away what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to work hard with the solid food, that we might put it into practice, that our lives would show that we trust you, that our lives would be ordered by the hope that we have in front of us. Father, that we would abound in love and good works. Father, keep us sure of your great promises to us. Help us to know them, to understand them, to take them to heart. And so, Father, may all those good things that accompany salvation be found in us as we persevere together, keeping our confidence in Jesus and putting in the necessary work. Father, help us in this way, we pray. And may your blessing and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.